So I want to welcome all of you again as we are continuing in our sermon series called Defying Gravity, which is based on the Bible study that was written by Tom Berlin. The study encourages us to explore what the Bible teaches us about the joy of generosity and about the importance of having a right relationship with our money and our possessions. I shared last week that I am a little uncomfortable with this topic. It's not something I have preached on in a series in 25 years of being a pastor. But I think our possessions and our finances are such a central part of our lives that it really is important that we look at the spiritual aspects of them. And so last week we talked about financial gravity and the kind of weight that our finances and possessions can sometimes exert in our lives, and how we sometimes get trapped by our attachment to those things. Did any of you take the clean out challenge this week? What was it like? Made you feel good? It was freeing? Okay. I did it too. I actually cleaned out two drawers, not one. But the things that I pulled out of the drawers are still sitting on top of my dresser. So that tells you something about my inability to get rid of things. Clearly, I have some work to do in that area in my life. So I am a victim of that financial gravity in some ways, or I allow myself to be a victim of that. So this week, instead of talking about how our possessions can sometimes weigh us down and trap us, this week we're going to take a look at some of the joy that we experience as we live with generosity. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said. So this past week, I was at a retreat for clergy in our district on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we engaged in some very deep pondering over a very important subject, which was toilet paper. And the question was, do you think that toilet paper should be hung on the spindle so that it goes over or under? So if you're an over person, raise your hand. If you are an under person, raise your hand. Wow. If you, like me, are just really glad if somebody actually replaces the roll of toilet paper, raise your hand. It was kind of a fun discussion. I had to actually laugh because there was one pastor there who is so committed to the perspective that she was an under person. So she was so committed to that every time she would go into the ladies' room in her church, if the toilet paper was the wrong way, she would flip it. She had a member of the congregation who was an over person who would go into the ladies' room after the pastor went in there and would take the toilet paper and flip it back around. Now that is being really committed to your position, right? It was kind of a fun discussion that we had, but it was also a very good illustration about the fact that we often align ourselves with certain positions or certain causes, whether they are toilet paper goes over or toilet paper goes under, or we identify with certain sports teams. You know, we're very much in football season right now, and our household likes to watch football, and we definitely have the teams that we root for and those teams that we don't. Or in the political arena, I mean, there are just ways in which we align ourselves with certain groups or certain causes. Well, last week we talked about how in the realm of finances and possessions, we often will align ourselves with one of two kingdoms. There is, we said last week, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. And we talked how the values in the kingdom of God are sometimes very different from the values of the kingdom of self. So in the kingdom of God, things that are valued are humility and forgiveness and sacrifice, whereas in the kingdom of self, what is valued are superiority and vengeance and self-preservation. And I would add to that this week to say that in the kingdom of God, the question is, what can I give? In the kingdom of self, the question is, what can I get? Right? In the kingdom of God, the value is, what can I give? The kingdom of self is concerned with, what can I get? And I think in some ways, our culture really encourages us to look at the what can I get, right? But learning to give is crucially important. The biblical standard for giving is the tithe, right? And Jesselyn, if you can go to the next slide. So the tithe is 10%. That's what the word means, one-tenth. And it is based on the biblical idea that whatever you have, you give 10% of that back. You give 10% of that back to God. In ancient days, that was used to support the work of the temple or the priests and the religious leaders. And that 10%, that tithe, was also used to care for the widows and the orphans and those who were in need. That was the basis of that. And you've probably heard me say, whenever we have the offering, it's, you know, time to show our gratitude as we offer back God's tithes and our offerings, right? It's because the biblical understanding is that that first 10% is really non-negotiable. It goes to God. And anything above and beyond that 10% is a thank offering. Now, I recognize that it is challenging at times to hit that 10% mark, right? You know, if you do the math to see, you know, what your annual income is, and then you find 10% of that, that figure can be a little challenging to think, I'm going to give that away. But there is some joy in being able to give and in being able to share. There is joy in not asking the question, what can I get, but rather, how much can I give? There is joy in living in the kingdom of God rather than in the kingdom of self. In the gospel lesson that we heard this morning, we encounter a young man who is very much living in the kingdom of self, right? Scripture tells us, Jesus is telling everybody this story about a younger son who goes to his father and says to his father, give me my share of the inheritance. You know, Mike and I are at an age where our parents have started talking to us with some frequency about what their final wishes are, right? Like, when we die, this is what we want to have happen. They're just preparing us. Didn't you just have that conversation with your mom when we were on vacation? Yep. I had the same conversation with my parents as we were driving down to the beach. They were like, okay, let me just tell you, this is what we want to have. And it's one thing for our parents to say to us what their final wishes are, but it would be very different for us to say to them, hey, when you die, this is what I want, right? That would be a very different kind of conversation. Well, when the younger son went to his father and asked for his share of the inheritance, that was tantamount in that culture to him going to his father and saying, old man, you have lived too long already. I wish you were dead. Now give me what's coming to me. That is somebody who is living in the kingdom of self, right? He wasn't asking the question, what can I give? He was asking, how much can I get? And how soon can I get it? But the father in that story was definitely living in the kingdom of God. He wasn't asking, what can I get back from this wayward son who has come home? He wasn't asking, how many years of service Am I going to make him work until he has paid off his debt? Instead, he gave. He gave his forgiveness. He gave a party. He killed the fatted calf. He was asking, what can I give? And the reality is, when we switch from the mindset of what can I get to what can I give, we can experience an incredible amount of joy in our lives. Tom Berlin, who is the author of this study on which the sermon series is based, gives this wonderful example and illustration of what that joy is like. And we have a video clip where he shares that for us. Jesslyn, can you go to the next one?
Years ago, I served out in the Shenandoah Valley. I served a church out in the Shenandoah Valley where I was younger then. I was still trying to figure out my life. I was trying to figure out what it meant to be a pastor. I was trying to figure out how to talk about giving. This is not an easy thing. And there was a woman who mentored me, and she didn't even know she was mentoring me. And her name was Margaret Hoddle. Margaret was in her 90s when I met her. She was one of the most joyful people I knew. She sat in her chair on her front porch in a small country house. She, in her 90s, still kept a garden out back. And let me tell you, it was a weedless garden. It was unbelievably. She just lived a diligent, good life. She had kids in the community, grandchildren, great-grandchildren by the time I met her. And everybody really liked Miss Margaret. You know, if you live in a small community, people kind of rub each other different ways. Amen? You ever lived in a small community? And so when you listen and you hear that everybody thinks highly of one person as a pastor, you're like, I need to discover this person. That was Miss Margaret. One day I was in her house. We were talking and I was visiting with her, and we began to talk about giving. And as maybe you've heard, my wife has a tremendous joy in giving. That's something Karen is just naturally does. It's a gift she has. And Margaret and I were talking about that gift, and Margaret had that gift as well. And Margaret told me a story which stuck with me so closely that I've known it for years. But when this sermon series came, I thought, I want to write down the conversation I had with Margaret Hoddle, and I want to get it as close as I can to what she said. Now, remember, when I met her years ago, she was in her 90s. She'd been through the Great Depression, single mother during those years. She'll talk about that in a second. This is not Margaret's voice. This is somebody else narrating. But this is Margaret's story. And I want you to listen to something. I want you to listen for the shape of Margaret's life. The shape of Margaret's life. Listen to this video.
I have always tithed, and I am so glad that I did. It is one of the decisions that brought greater meaning to my life. My husband died when we were young. My son and daughter were children. Then one day, I was at a meeting of the ladies' auxiliary at the church, and they announced what would be done with the thank offering that was taken every November. I came home sad because I knew we couldn't do that. There just wasn't a penny left over. My son saw that I was sad and asked me what was bothering me. I told him that I wanted to be a part of the thank offering in November, but even with all the time between now and November, I wouldn't be able to help. He said that if I wanted to give to that offering, we would do it together. We put a mason jar on the kitchen table. He and his sister took odd jobs, doing farm work or pulling weeds in gardens. They didn't make much, but they would bring their pennies and nickels home and put them in the jar. The country was still recovering from the Depression. It was hard for a woman to find a job. I had to work and take care of the children. I took in sewing and would put any money we didn't need in the jar. We kept a garden and we watched our money, but I always wanted my children to see that giving was a part of life. I just took that portion out first and we lived on the rest. And it was hard, but we did it. Bit by bit, pennies turned to nickels, nickels turned to dimes, and then quarters. By the time November came around, we had a few dollars. I had the children come with me to the meeting, and together we put our offering on the table with everyone else's. I think it was one of the proudest and happiest things we ever did together.
And what Miss Margaret taught me was that was what was at the center of her life. Generosity was at the center of her life. And her children were raised. That shaped her life. It doesn't matter whether your offering is measured in dollars or whether you work with a charitable trust, because you've been so blessed and you've made so much money. I think what matters is what's at the center of our lives. And she pointed to the table. She said, I put the jar right here. And in that 90-plus-year-old woman, and her voice was older at that time, and the joy was still so present. And that can be your life. And the data says that if you live that life, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more compassionate. You're going to be more empathetic. You're going to be more joyful. You're going to be a person who's known as being generous of spirit as well as in other ways. And it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your grandchildren. And people are going to look at you every so often from afar, from quite a distance, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, wow, she resembles somebody, someone. And what they're going to think of, eventually they're going to connect the dots and say there's a connection between their faith and their life.
Miss Margaret's life was one that was lived in the kingdom of God, asking the question not, what can I get, but asking, what can I give? And in her 90-plus years, it shaped her life with joy. That's what we experience when we're living in the kingdom. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we thank you for the gift of generosity that you have poured out on us, giving us everything that we have, not withholding even your only son. Help us to live as those who are truly grateful, and help our lives be shaped by the question, what can I give? We pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said,